Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
You can't coach, you can't teach, you can't perform or do any of those things powerfully if you don't do them personally.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Measuring Success Right. Thank you to the Harold B. Lee Library for letting us use their sound booth. They're awesome, and we really appreciate that. I'm Andrew Allen, and today we have Jeff Mask here with us. Welcome, Jeff Mask.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Andrew.
Jeff has had a successful career that spans many industries. He graduated from BYU with a bachelor's degree in communications and went on to go to the Thunderbird School of Global Management. He's worked at Pfizer, Infusionsoft, and in Jump Software. He currently runs his own company, Mask Principles Executive Coaching. He's a husband and a father of four children. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. It's great to be here. And in a way, it is a trip to be here 20 years later and walking in the halls and feeling the stress of BYU and the joy, of course. But just being here in the library, I was like, oh boy, I remember these days and wishing I could not be here. And grateful I was here all at the same time in a weird way, but it's great to be back.
Definitely understand that feeling. Okay, so just to start off, can you tell us a little bit more about your career and what has your career path looked like?
Yeah, you bet. One of the best pieces of advice that I received when I was actually here at BYU was try my hand at working full-time and going to school full-time. It's not for everybody. It was for me, though. And so when I was here as a freshman, I actually joined a web services company in Orem, and it was in the dot-com bubble days of the late 90s, and loved that, and was with a web services company that was subsequently acquired by About.com in New York. And that was the trajectory, the beginning of my career that really set me in a place of, I want to be in marketing, I want to be in advertising, and I was doing that work full time while I studied it, which really helped my brain stay engaged in school, given that I'm pseudo ADD, if not fully ADD, just never quite diagnosed with that. I like to be active. So that was super helpful for me. And from there, had some life events that really changed my life. And we'll talk about a little bit more in the podcast, but almost lost my wife and son and had a major rude awakening to life and what the purpose was and why I was here, and switched career paths. And that's when I went to Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, also based in New York. But we were stationed down in a station. Sounds like I was in the military, but we were positioned down in Southern California, which is where I picked up surfing and my love for the ocean. And I was there for 5 years and loved the learning and the skills and the leadership that I gained there. Then had another life-changing event. Again, we'll talk more. The C word came my way and I was diagnosed with cancer. And again, looked in the mirror of why I was on this earth and what my purpose was, and went to a more purpose-driven company, Infusionsoft, now called Keep, down in Arizona, where I'm from. My best friend and brother are the co-founders, and I joined up and had a great 11-year stint there. From started at about $1 million in revenue, I was about employee 20. And rode that wave and grew it north of 100 million of more than 1,000 employees, and had a lot of fun with that. And that's really where I knew who I'd become professionally and what I wanted to do in the future. Then I went to Thunderbird for my MBA and wanted to study global business, and loved what I learned there. And that's what pushed me over the edge to start a different career path and start with another software company while simultaneously starting my executive coaching business, which all that's probably pretty boring, but man, that was about as fast as I could go given how many details there are in between.
That's awesome. Did you know that you wanted to end up in executive coaching from the beginning, or is that something that kind of developed later on?
That's a great question. Not from the beginning. However, about 15 years ago, when my brother, who is the CEO of Infusionsoft, again, now Keep, they changed their name, he had six kids, the company was about 6 million, and he was just feeling the stress and the pressure of trying to balance and juggle life. It was super tough, and he actually went and found an executive coach and came back from his first coaching session on fire, totally convicted, totally more confident, more clear, and I felt it, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, the impact. And I went home to Sherry, my wife, that day and said, that's what I'm going to do someday. I just feel it. That's what I'm born to do. And in time, I wanted to learn more about building a business in the trenches, not the theory, but the actual practical application And so did so, and the time was right, and here I am.
That's great. Cool. I think it's cool that you saw how someone in an executive position, executive coaching position, had influenced people like
totally.
Your brother, and that inspired you to follow that career path.
Yeah, when you see something that's just, that rings true, and then you say it with words, there's something about truth that resonates that you know when it's true, right? And we both, my wife and I, when the words were communicated, we both just felt peace and like it to our core. Yep, that's going to happen. When was the question, but we knew it would happen. It was neat.
That's cool. I think it's cool having that idea of what you're going to go do going forward. So you mentioned that you've had several experiences that have changed your career path and changed the way you thought about life. What helped you to figure out your priorities in life?
Facing death. It was amazing. It sounds morbid, I know, but meaning when you take life for granted, which most of us do, and you go along doing what we feel is most meaningful and most impactful, and then you get a rude awakening of, for me, almost losing my wife and son in delivery with my first child. He was born dead, actually, and she teetered between life and death in the ICU for a week, and then for another 3 months afterwards, she had severe blood clots. And I just thought, man, what am I doing? And am I making the best choices? Not good, not better, but the best choices. And am I really fulfilling my mission here on this earth? You know, it just was such a great awakening for me, and put different tasks and priorities in perspective that helped change the way I thought and the way I was. I was set that I was going to be in New York City. I was going to be on Madison Avenue. I loved advertising. I still do. And that was my path until I had a major rude awakening of almost losing the love of my life and my first son, and thought, what really matters? So that was huge. Then being diagnosed with cancer, I had melanoma about 13 years ago. That put me in a whole new path for my personal self-reflection, whereas before I was looking at my wife, and this time, same thing. What am I doing? What's my purpose? And am I doing what God wants me to do? Really staying close with the Lord is everything to me. And He gave me these gifts of glimpses of death to remind me, am I really living up to my full potential, or am I letting fear or greed or pride muddy the waters and cloud my judgment and distract me?
I noticed you used the word gifts to describe those experiences. I think that's incredible that the way that you have come to see them is as like a gift, because I feel like many of us would be like, those experiences would be like traumatic and we wouldn't want to be grateful for them. But from what you've said, it sounds like those experiences really shaped you and that you're grateful for those experiences.
Yeah. If you think about it, one of my favorite scriptures is, I give unto men and women weakness that they may become strong, right? What we miss, I think, on that scripture a lot is the give. It's, if you think about it, the weakness that we have, the problems that we have, the obstacles that come our way are gifts. And if we think that way and shift our mindset to realize, wow, this weakness, this problem, this insecurity that I have is actually a gift, how can I see it that way and then smile with it versus be frustrated by it, wish that I didn't have it, then we don't grow. And it can take us a long time versus just shifting it right away and saying, what's the good in this? And it might sound touchy-feely and impossible to do, but it's actually, in my opinion, what we're meant to do.
That's awesome. What advice do you have for people to be able to make that shift in their lives? Because I know that not all of us will have an experience where we come close to death and kind of get the clarity that comes from that.
Yeah.
What advice would you want to share about that?
Yeah, we don't have near-death experiences. We don't have that, but we all have serious problems. We all have things that are stressing us out right now. Think about it. As you're listening to this podcast, what's the number one stress that you have that keeps you up at night, that you're anxious about, that you continue to mull over in your mind? And what I invite my coaching clients to do all the time, invite everyone that's listening, is to think, what is the good that I'm experiencing or that I can experience from this right now, versus just enduring it or masking it or altogether avoiding it? Instead, facing it with an abundant, faithful mindset to think, what does God want me to learn? And when we do it from a place of joy and gratitude versus frustration and ingratitude, we actually learn when we choose to see the positive side of things. And when people say, well, you just don't know my situation, I say, let's talk a little bit more, because I promise you it doesn't have anything to do with your situation. It has everything to do with the way you view your situation.
That's so cool. I think that you said it's a choice to have the positive mindset. I think that's so important that we all have to recognize that we have to be the ones to choose,
right,
and decide to live our lives that way.
The only thing that we own is our agency. That's it. That's the only thing that's ours. So if we have that, why not exercise it powerfully and positively versus squandering it and not thinking that we have choices on everything we do in our life? We do. If we're not happy in our career, if we're not happy in our major, if we're not happy in what we're doing, change it. Choose to act versus just tolerate and sit there passively, frustratedly, in a way that just makes life somewhat enjoyable. It's not what we're meant to be.
That's great advice. Thank you for that. So how have these experiences that you've had and the choices that you've had to make, how have those helped you develop these principles that you currently teach in your executive coaching program, the MASC principles?
Yeah, you know, they've significantly helped me. I believe you can't coach, you can't teach, you can't perform or do any of those things powerfully if you don't do them personally. There is significant power that comes when you do what you say you'll do, and what you invite people to do, versus, yeah, this theory or this book or this philosophy says this, try that. But when you actually experiment and you do and you are your word, it has an impact on every aspect of our lives. So literally what I've been living for the last 40 years has been just that: now apply and coach and teach. And my whole purpose is to uplift and inspire and transform executives, in particular CEOs, to live a more powerfully harmonious life versus the tyranny that comes from leading a business, and or the selfishness or the ego or the complete imbalance. So my life has led me to where I am today, to lead the way I do now and to inspire and expect more from people.
It's inspiring to hear how your life has affected that ability. What experiences have you had with helping people to use the principles that you teach in your executive program?
Great question. A story comes to mind of a client in London. He has built and created multiple multi-million dollar businesses. He has a knack for marketing and growing businesses, and anything he touches, he literally has a Midas touch, and it has been fulfilled so far in his life accordingly, professionally. But he found himself wanting more and feeling unfulfilled overall holistically in his life. And so as we started coaching, he said, I don't know why I need to coach with you. I just know I need to coach with you. As soon as I found out you were coaching CEOs, I came right to him, and he did. And I said, tell me more. Why? And he told me kind of how he's been fulfilled, what his life has been like, all the different businesses that he's built from scratch and created, multi-million, sold many of them off, led other. I mean, just all the stuff that you would think, is, especially as a student, wow, that's what I want. I want to be a successful business person or whatever that may be, right? And have all these dollar signs behind me, and for him, pound signs. And yet he wasn't fulfilled. And so as we went through the MASC principles, which are mindset, action, spirituality, and kindness, teaching the whole person the value of life, not just the business side. I coach right at the intersection of business and life. We found out where he was lacking. And it didn't take a rocket scientist. When he told me he had been engaged for 13 years to the same wonderful partner, and she and he had two wonderful kids, lived under the same roof for 13 years. And I thought, interesting. So we coached, we dug in deep, and I asked some pretty life-altering questions that really made him ponder and search and think. And one of the simple questions was, why have you been engaged for 13 years and not committed to marriage? And that uncovered all sorts of personal insecurities and loyalties and just fears in general. And more often than not, fear is the number one inhibitor from us doing the best thing in our lives. And over time, we coached, and then we coached the three of us, his fiancée, because they had been engaged for 10 years, which was classic. And so his fiancée and I coached in London one day, and the one question that we wrestled with was, why have you been engaged for 13 years and not been married? And we went through all the principles and all the priorities and what really mattered. And that day in December, they committed to be married, and They said they were going to be married on 29th of June in London, and that happened. And I was able to be there and be a part of it. And as a coach, that was one of the most fulfilling days of my life as a coach, professionally. And interestingly, it had nothing to do with his profession. It had everything to do with his priority of his family, that his words were saying they were a priority, but his actions were not lining up to it. So we just created a simple way of living that helped his words mirror his actions, and his actions mirror his words, so that he was a man of full integrity. And seeing his life change, and now the bond that I have with his wife and two kids, is priceless. It's a really huge blessing in my life, and we are dear friends because of that.
That's an amazing example of someone really committing to changing their priorities and taking action about that.
Definitely. It is very inspiring to see him and still continue down the path. And he said, since that day I made the decision in December to commit, I have never faltered or doubted that decision, even when people pester me and bother me and, you know, kind of make fun of me because I've been doing it for 13 years, so why change now? But he was a man of his word. And I use that with a capital W. When we are human beings of our word, everything else takes care of itself. The little things, the big things. When we say we'll wake up at 6 and we do it, when we say we'll make our bed and we do it, when we say we'll be home by 5 and we do it, sooner than later, all other elements start to get in motion because they know that we are people of our word. That's a whole another podcast, but there's a lot to that principle.
I think that's such a powerful way to live, is just being 100% honest and mm-hmm. living in the way that you tell people you will, and that you commit to yourself that you will.
Agreed. When you think of the root word of integrity, think of integer, think of integrity. Like the root is the INT, right? Enter or intra, depending. Go back to the Greek meaning of that, and that means whole. So integer is a whole number, right? It isn't a fraction number. And just as with integrity, we are whole. I think our society thinks of integrity more of honesty, which it is, but it's much deeper. It's being whole. And when we are whole and when we are full of integrity, we are the person that we are in every aspect of our lives. We aren't fractured. We don't discount ourselves. We don't say something just to make it sound right or to appease the other party. We are our whole word 100%, and that's where true power comes from.
That's awesome. I think we've definitely talked about this already with living up to your commitments and committing to yourself. But what other advice do you have for people working to become that whole person and to have that, like, that harmony, that balance in their life?
Yeah, great question. Before I do, I said Greek and I meant Latin, the Latin root. For those that are studying and thinking, wait a second, language? No, it's not Greek. It's a slip on the fly. One of the biggest challenges that professionals come to is that work-life balance problem. And what I like to do is just punch a hole through work-life balance and let people know it's a complete fallacy, it's a complete myth, it's a complete lie. We're never in balance. There's always something that's off, think about it. When you have finals week, you are so out of balance, it's not even funny, right? And other parts of your life totally suffer and you need to focus on that. When you have a deadline at work, same thing, it's not in balance. So I like to flip it on its head and call it work-life harmony. A friend of mine at Infusionsoft, Anita Grantham, who's now at Pluralsight, helped me see that I loved, and I've taken it to a new level because I love music and I love harmony. I'm a big fan of 4-6-part harmony, especially a vocal chord. I just love that. I love the power that I feel when I hear a great chord that just strikes it great, and it's like sends chills down my spine. If you love music, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Such a good feeling.
It's just the best. And conversely, when there's a flat or a sharp that isn't written in the music, it's just, oh, you just feel the record scratch. You know, it's like, oh, that hurts. So use that analogy in our lives. The way that harmony works is when every part knows their note. They know what to sing, they know what to play, and you do it in the right in the right order, the right tempo, the right everything, and bam, it's beautiful. What does that require? It requires us to communicate and to practice what are our parts. So in our lives, when we enroll all parts in our lives, that may be education, that might be financial, that might be spiritual, that might be work, whatever we have in our lives, when everybody is aware of what their part is, then when the ups and the downs come and you're doing it in sequence and in order, the chord stays tight and the harmony is beautiful. So here's an example where I coach this of my executives. I say, okay, so, or of my clients, if I've committed to be at my son's game every Tuesday at 3 p.m., and I want to be a person of my word, then I'm going to do that. But if I don't communicate to the other parts, in this case, my coworkers, and I leave at 2:45 every Tuesday, what might that communicate to everybody else who's in the office, still driving away, working hard, but the boss takes off at 2:45? What might that communicate if you don't enroll? I'm checked out. I'm too good. I get, you know, whatever it is. People will create stories when they don't have the data, right? And the stories make perfect sense in their mind. Reverse that and say, okay, well, what if I enroll my team and let them know, hey, guys, on Tuesdays at 3, I've committed to my son. I want to be at his game. I'm trying to be a better father for him. And I just want you to know when I leave at 2:45, that's what's happening. But if anything happens, I'll check email and check text and Slack or anything else afterwards. Just want you to know I am here. Guess what they do? When 2:45 or 2:47 or 2:50 comes and I'm still in the office, they're pushing me out. They're wanting me to be a man of integrity. And as a leader, what does that do? It sets an environment, an example for them to also lead more harmony in their lives so that we can have a more robust and more fulfilling life. It's not all about work. Yet in our professions, when we're type A, we're driving, we're trying to prove ourselves, it's easy to think that's all that matters. And we'll get to our family later, but right now I need to provide for them, and so I have to be here. No. So that's where harmony comes in and everybody's on the same page. Same principles apply when I say the same thing at home, when I have a big deadline and I let my family know what's going on. If I'm out in my home office or on the computer, they know what's happening and it's not going to be all the time, but they're aware and they rally around it. Long story, but I think it hopefully that resonates with everyone listening. It's not work-life balance. It never is and never has been and never will be. It's work-life harmony. Enroll your parts.
That's awesome. I think that's if we really live that, that's life-changing to have the idea of people moving together and and kind of keeping people updated on what's going on.
Yeah, it sends chills down your spine just like music does.
Yeah. I guess, what advice would you have for current students and how to have those conversations with people to build that harmony? Because I think it's a slightly different dynamic when you're the leader of a company and you're talking to your employees compared to like a student with perhaps your friends or if your colleagues, if you're working or professors or things like that. What advice do you have for that?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I was excited to be on this podcast was the title of the podcast and the intentional thought that went behind it. I could see, how do we measure success? How do we measure it right? And it's the origin is from Clayton Christensen's book, How do you Measure Success, right? How will you measure success in your life? And read that book, apply those principles. It is super true and super powerful. And don't let any ounce of success cloud your judgment and get in the way of what you deem to be a high priority today. And when we are people of our word and we stay true to our commitments and our priorities, success naturally comes. When we chase success as the end goal, it's this fleeting, never-ending quest. It's a summitless mountain. But when we are prioritized and put our life in a purposeful order, success naturally follows through. Here's a quick example of that. I had this super, super important client in town from Orlando. We were building this massive strategic partnership, a multi-million dollar deal, and he had come into town for a day and a half. On day one, we had worked all day, and so much so, I was so focused on the partnership and the negotiation that I lost track of time. Halfway through the negotiation, I look at my watch and realize, or my phone, because I can't wear watches. That's a whole other story. Time in Argentina is the reason for that, but that's later. So I look down and see the time, and I looked at him and thought, oh no, like this is the most important client and partner that we have. I have to treat him with respect and, you know, really take care of him. But I made a commitment to my wife and to my kids that this particular day, especially, I'd be home by 5:15. And it took about 14 minutes to get home. I knew that. And it was 5 o'clock, right on the dot. Thankfully, I looked at the time. And I looked at him and I said, I am so sorry. I committed to my wife and my kids today. I would be home at 5:15. We're going to have to pause this conversation and pick it up tomorrow morning. Hopefully you'll forgive me. I'm so sorry. And I grabbed my stuff and sprinted out the door. And the whole drive home, I thought, oh man, I may have lost the deal. I may have lost the partnership. He may feel like I, you know, just spit in his face. And but, you know, took care of business at home. I was there. I was present. I committed to myself that I would be, and I was, and it was great. Went into the office the next day. He met me, and he looked me right in the eyes right when we sat down. I said, hey, I'm sorry for that, you know, abrupt close. But, and he cut me off, and he said, no way. He said, now I see who you are at your core. And you were a man of your word, and you kept to your priorities. And he said, I've never been more excited to do business with anybody else now than with you. I know that our partnership will be powerful because that's how you live your life. I've seen it. You didn't even mean to, but what you did actually solidified for me, this is the partner that I want to work with. And I thought, how interesting. If I were so seduced with success and with the multimillion dollar deal, and that became more important to me than being true to my word and the priorities that I had set, maybe the partnership would have been there, but not as much as it has. That was over a decade ago. And now he is one of my personal coaching clients. It's lasted 12 years, this relationship. And he continues to invest and continues to have a great friendship and partnership with me because I was a man of my word and I kept my priorities clear. And I didn't let anything get in the way of that. So it was a powerful story that helped reinforce to me, don't get distracted. Don't get seduced. Don't look at the shiny object. Be true on your purpose and your priorities.
That's an amazing experience. I think most of us students are most likely definitely seduced by the idea of success and like just business and financial success and success in work life. I think it's really important for us to remember that that's not that all life is, and there's so much more to it than
totally.
That.
Totally. Just real quick. Purpose, I also look at with a capital P. What is our purpose? What is our why on this planet? Why are we here? And the more that we can revisit that, be honest with ourselves with that, ask God for help on that, the more powerfully we lead. But when we lose sight of who we are, and it seems so elementary and so Sunday school, so primary, but it couldn't be more true. And after 20 plus years in my career and seeing so many people rise and fall, it all comes back to their true identity and purpose on this earth. Regardless of your religious affiliation, regardless of your belief in God, regardless of what it is, I coach people of all walks of life that believe in a higher power that don't and so forth. But it all comes down to their personal purpose. And all of us listening here, I have a strong belief we are all sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father and a loving Heavenly Mother. We are children of God. And when we remember that, as elementary in Sunday school as it sounds, that's the big picture. So if that's true, therefore what? What do I need to do to fulfill the purpose that I have in this life? And when that comes down over and over and over back to us, we then ground ourselves in that so that when trials and tests and temptations come, we know who we are at our core. And we follow through regardless of how difficult that journey is or how difficult that path is or the choices are. We move forward because we are true to our purpose. Everything else comes in line when we stay focused on our overall why or our purpose.
That's so cool. Remembering that purpose is so essential to success and to having a happy life.
And it sounds cliche. And it sounds, oh, we're just doing this because this is a BYU podcast. Guess what? I say this in every podcast that I'm on. No religious affiliation. Any business partner, any client, I have the same message. And that is know your purpose, know your why. And more often than not, it's more spiritual than we sometimes want to admit or know. And so I work with whomever that is, whatever level of spirituality they're at, to help them tap into that massive power and the higher power that's there that's much greater than us.
That's amazing. What advice do you have for current students and like future professionals on how to build their career to be in harmony with their purpose? Because I feel like we all want to have a career that's meaningful and we all want to feel that purpose while we're working. So what advice do you have for how to build a career, but in conjunction with
purpose? That's a great question. First and foremost, check your decisions and the motive behind the decision. More often than not, fear rules our decision more than we want to admit or more than we acknowledge. For example, I'm going to choose this career path because it's more stable or the esteem is better or the pay is better or I don't want to be lacking. And there's a subtle and sometimes powerful motivator of fear. If fear is in the ingredient of your decision making, eradicate it. Push it to the side and let faith be more prominent than fear. They can't coexist. So one, be faithful, not fearful. Two, do what you love. In today's economy, and even if the economy starts to slide, which it probably will in time because it's been such an amazing 11 years of economic massive growth, there's something that is different in today's economy. There are so many options. There are so many choices. The advent of the internet and the way that business is so much more global, it's why I went to a global business school, by the way, is because it's the internet. Like, we have so many options. We can work from our home. We can sell online. We can do a brick and mortar store. We can go to an office. Before 20, 30, 40 years ago, there weren't as many options. And so people ended up settling. And when they settle, they didn't do what they were passionate about. They didn't do what they were great at. They did what was comfortable and what was safe. And so their life was mediocre. But at least they paid the bills. At least they were responsible citizens. I'm not knocking that. But it doesn't have to be that way, especially for the generation that is in school right now. You have so many options. Be abundant in your thinking. Be faithful in your thinking. And go pursue your passion. And you got to find a way to make money doing it, right? You got to provide, and there's nothing wrong with that. So don't be fearful. Be faithful. Recognize there's an abundance of options, and do what you love. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be afraid of that, and go find it. But see, think about it. When you pair no fear with doing what you love, then you're not going to settle. You're not going to tolerate. You're going to do what you're meant to do. And then when you base that on the foundation of your overarching purpose, you're unstoppable. That's what makes me excited. Versus people kind of, oh, I don't really like my job. I'm just kind of here. I dread it on Monday nights or Sunday nights, and I just can't, I don't want to go in, but you know, here I am. It reminds me of the Office episodes, right? Where Jim is just stuck there and doesn't want to change. Well, change it. He doesn't because, well, he's in love with someone he has to finally, you know, have the courage to talk to. But again, he lets fear rule him. Don't let fear rule you. Push past it, ask for help, and pray like crazy. The last thing I would say with that advice is enroll and include the Lord in everything that you do. He knows us better than we'll ever know ourselves. And when we humbly submit to what he wants us to do, as preachy in the Sunday school as it sounds, it's so spot on. He is my best friend. I am building this awesome executive coaching business because of and through him, period. It's not me. Yes, I've learned a lot over the 20 years, but he is guiding me and inspiring me every day. And I know I have achieved a level of success that I have because of him. And so in turn, what does that make me want to do? Reciprocate, give, serve, be on this podcast, help other people, and do it from a place of no reciprocity. I don't need anything back. I just want to give because I've been given so much. And when that authentically shines through, people know it. You can't fake that. And the smile on my face that you see right now, you know, it's legit, right? I just love what I get to do, and it's because of him.
That's amazing. I think that's such a cool mindset to have, and so important to remember that we have been given so many things, and because we've been given so much, it's our kind of responsibility to give to other people and to show them that we care about them.
Definitely. It's how we change the world.
Have you any experiences or stories that you'd like to share with kind of choosing to have the faith and the purpose over fear and kind of eradicating fear in that decision process?
Oh man, we don't have enough time. Yes, yes I do. And so many that it's hard for me to think, what is the story? I'll just share a simple one. Starting a new company, growing, scaling, and having all sorts of weight on my shoulders, I had to stay true to my commitments and my purpose. And it happened to be at a season where we had a lot happening when we were raising capital. We had a lot of the revenue numbers we needed to hit, which I was overseeing. And yet there was a commitment that I made to, one, my son, and two, the young men that I was with for a super activity for 4 days. And it happened to be, of course, 1 week and one the next week. So I was gone from work a long time. And I was stressing over it. And I was like, oh man, of all the times, such the wrong time. And I reminded myself, it's never the right time. It's never the right time to go on vacation with your family. It's never the right time to go be at science camp with your fifth grader. It's never the right time to be on a super activity with the young men that you committed that you would be with. And there's always something that can come up and take priority if you allow it. And this was a moment where I knew my job was on the line. It really was. And I thought, I could lose my job if I go on these, you know, if I leave the office and I'm not, you know, connected to my phone and doing what I need to be doing at work. But I stayed true to the commitment that I made and didn't have fear. And I thought, when I had cancer and faced fear and faced death, the ultimate fear for me, and realized, wow, how am I living now that I don't face death and I don't fear death? How do I live more intentionally with more purpose? And what was I not doing before because I feared death? And then I just translated that to my work environment and said, what is death? Losing your job. And I thought, what decisions am I making out of self-preservation to stay, quote unquote, alive? And I thought, I'm going to stay alive and I'm going to thrive in staying true to my purpose. And I did. And guess what? Drum roll, I didn't lose my job. And guess what? My fifth grader, who I committed to being there, was overjoyed that I was there. The young men that I was with, we created an amazing experience that to this day we talk about. And we reminisce on how amazingly dirty and muddy the water was that we had to river raft through after big fires and floods that happened. It was the most disgusting water, more Willy Wonka chocolate river than you can ever imagine. And I would have missed that. I would have missed the opportunity to inspire them and help them to be better young men and to set goals for their lives because, quote unquote, what I needed to do was more important. No, it was just more scary. And I let fear almost dictate my decision. And I said, no, not going to do it, and instead created more powerful relationships with the people that I love.
That's an amazing example. I think we all need to learn how to let go of fear in our lives and make our decisions not based on that.
Totally, because so often it's fear of judgment, fear of being made fun of, fear of losing something important, fear of losing our lives, you know, in a big picture. And really all that is us coming to love the 13-year-old in all of us that's super awkward, that still has braces, that still has pimples, whatever it is, right? We all have our insecurities. We all have the things that just make us not love ourselves. That's just fear versus just changing that with pure love toward ourselves and toward others. That's when criticism comes, when difficulties come, we can look in the mirror with pure love, with charity, and love ourselves and love others to lead powerfully. And that naturally eliminates fear.
That's great advice. It's hard to have that love towards yourself. But when we do, it's a radical change, radical, radical change.
Definitely. I always say all adults are is little kids in big people's bodies. And the more that you live life, the more you realize, wow, we don't have it figured out. No. We're all kind of still running from fear and insecurity. Yep. Most adults run from insecurity and fear all the time. And they're still trying to save face. They're still trying to be liked. They're still trying to be good enough versus going back to our purpose. Of course we're good enough. We are children of God. So love that and then lead from that place. It's literally life-altering.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for your insights today, Jess. And thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening, everybody. This is Andrew Allen with Measuring Success Right. Have a great week.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.